The Real Estate Hour, the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay. Heard every Sunday morning right here on KSRO for over 35 years. Hosted by Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, local realtors with local real estate experience, bringing you market updates, industry insights, and tips for home buyers and sellers, plus community information and local guests. The Norman Home Team, a mother-daughter real estate team with Keller Williams Realty Wine Country. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237. And now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
Happy Sunday.
Looks like it's going to be a really nice
day. And it's the last day of May.
Happy last day of May.
Yeah.
Or May. Yeah, May. Weren't we just singing the It's Going to Be May song?
Feels like it, yeah.
All right, plug myself in. Pardon me. There we go. Anyway, good morning. We are going to talk about, what are we going to talk about today?
We have lots of things. Market updates, contingencies, buyer strategies.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about buyer strategy, actually a lot about buyer strategy, kind of getting your offer accepted last week. We want to talk this week about really kind of the steps before that. And then also, you know, once you're in escrow, a lot of people don't, you know, really, honestly, a lot of people don't even understand what does that mean when you open escrow, you know, like, it's like we have an offer accepted. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. So, so Joe's raising his hand. After all these years, Joe.
What does it mean?
Anyway, so, yeah, so sometimes we have to kind of take a step back and really explain things better than we do sometimes, you know, because when you're in it. This is what the process is. And I know when I'm doing something, when I'm on the other end of something with a professional that's, you know, kind of rambling off all this information, I'm all, hang on a minute. And I'm one of those people that really needs to understand something. I need to understand why we're doing this and what's happening. Yeah. So sometimes we have to just kind of take a step back and explain it in a little more detail.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that today, kind of talking about what, and then also, you know, buyer contingencies. We talked a lot about buyer contingencies last week and removing contingencies and without really explaining what that means.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little bit of a deep dive into that. And then I wanted to clarify, we usually listen to we record the show. We also do YouTube and we usually listen to it just to make sure, you know, we didn't say anything dumb or or anything that was incorrect that we need to clarify or just, you know, to critique ourselves. But I did say there was some stuff that I was talking about last week that I wanted to clarify having to do with putting an offer in and being pretty sure that you want the property. And it kind of almost sounded like I was saying, you know, if you're going to put an offer in and then do all your investigations after you're in escrow, you know, and then back out, we don't want that to happen. But, you know, our goal is for that not to happen. And really it is to negotiate once we're in there, not to just, you know, and so the way I said it, it kind of sounded like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. But really you should be taking advantage of those contingencies. Mm-hmm. And the reason why sometimes we say remove the contingencies or shorten them is because, one, we already have a lot of information that the seller gave us. But also, you know, you're pretty sure that you want to move forward
So just to clarify, a contingency is basically an exit lane. It's a way out if you need it.
Exactly. And it's a really good explanation of what it is. And there's a lot of different contingencies and we're going to talk about that. And so I just wanted to clarify that what I said there. and what we don't like to see is somebody just throwing out an offer to make it stick, you know, get an offer accepted, knowing full well that they may not buy this property. And even when I say that now, it kind of sounds like we want you to be sure you're going to buy that property when you put an offer in. And that's not what I'm saying, because you do have that. That's what the contingencies are for. But there are people that'll just say, well, we're just going to put an offer in on this and then we'll decide if we want it or not, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a different level of that. And yes, every offer you're putting in, you have that opportunity. You have those exit lanes to say, actually, this isn't the right property for me. And that is what that contingency period is for, but there needs to be a level of this is the house that you if this is a good fit.
With intention to buy, not intention to
back out.
Yeah, and be like, I can back out if I don't want it. It's
right, and you can.
You can.
However, that's kind of what I was trying to relay last week. Is we have had buyers in the past, and everybody has. We all in the industry know that there are some buyers that are just throwing offers out there, especially when it's competitive, and they just want to throw an offer in to make it stick. And a lot of times, I'm always really nervous, like the first 24 hours. Of our buyer getting an offer accepted, because I'm like, am I going to call them and say, guess what, your offer is accepted, and what is their reaction? And sometimes they go, oh no. It's like, and it's some part of it's just nerves, you know, like, oh shoot, you know. But there is that, you know, and sometimes it's cold feet, you know, but but there is also that, oh man, I didn't think that offer was going to get accepted. I shouldn't have wrote it so high, or whatever. And there's a lot of regret. And so that there's just kind of a fine line. And I just want to clarify that, because when I said it last week, it kind of made it sound like we don't want you to take advantage of those contingencies. We absolutely do. That's what they're for. But a lot of times, you know, we let us do the negotiating and make it make sense for you.
I just thought of a kind of a good example that it's like, you don't want to just bid on something that you don't actually want.
Right.
Because then you get it. No one else bids on it. It's like, oh, no, I didn't actually want that.
Yeah, like at an auction. Just testing, And, you know, the way that it's set up. Joe has a question.
Why would somebody bid on something they don't want?
I don't know.
That's good.
You know, sometimes I think people get caught up in the frenzy of it, and especially, you know, if there are multiple offers, and they're trying to put a competitive offer in, so they just kind of throw everything they can at it, and you get caught up in that. And we have buyers a lot of times that'll say, "Oh, I don't want to get into a bidding war." You know, where they know themselves and they know that they're going to come in and throw a big offer at it, and then go, "Shoot, what'd I do that for?" You know. Yeah.
Well, yeah, housewives.
It's kind of regret at, you know, people get caught up in winning sometimes.
Especially when the market's crazy and they're like, oh no, like I'm going to put in an offer because I don't know what's going to happen with the market.
Right. And this isn't the perfect house for me, but we'll make it work. And then they get the offer accepted and they go, oh, I don't know if this was the right house. A lot of it's that we're decision anxiety we were talking about last week, is there's a lot of inventory right now in the lower price point. There's a lot to look at, and there's more coming on the market. So there are people saying, oh, well, maybe something better will come up. Maybe something that's 100% of a fit, you know, and we're going to actually talk about that today. Also, that's the other thing on our list is there really a perfect home for every? And, you know, answer is really probably not. That there's, even when you build your own home, there's going to be some concessions you have to make of what you can do and what you can't do and what you can fit into that.
Or I'll be like, I wish I did that. I wish I did it.
Right, when you built your own home. Yeah, so we're going to kind of talk about that, and then how it gets even more difficult, excuse me, when there's more than one buyer and more than one you know, decision to be made, and what's important to one person and not the other person. And a lot of times we find that out when we're out with you looking in. That's why we always encourage our clients to go, you know, or anybody, go with a realtor. I know it's easier to just go look at the open houses sometimes. Excuse me. Or we hear, you know, oh, well, I didn't want to bother my realtor, so I'm just going to the open houses. We learn so much about you as the buyer by going to look at homes with you. We can see, we sit back and watch sometimes, or we ask questions, you know, what do you like about this house? What don't you like? And then hearing, you know, the husband or the wife or partner, you know, whatever, say, you know, go, oh, well, I don't like this, you know, and like the other one's all, really, I really like this about this house, you know, or it's not close enough to a store, or it's not walkable, or it's not, you know, there's too much road noise, and the other person's all, really, I didn't know that was something. Yeah. So we're going to talk about kind of how to address that part of it by really making, sitting down and taking it serious of what a perfect house would look like to you, and just keep in mind that there isn't a perfect house, but you can get pretty close. If you know what you want and identify what you want, right?
Just, I liked her answer.
What was your answer? We'll help you find the perfect house?
No, she said she didn't know.
Oh. Well, I wasn't. House-wise, I know how to I know that one, but bidding on just an object that you don't actually want, that I don't know. I don't know why people do that.
But. Anyway, okay, and then we're going to take a look at the numbers. We will be looking at the numbers, the whole April, no, May numbers. I still can't believe it's going to be June. We're going to be looking at the May sold numbers next week. We'll squeeze that in. We actually have two.
No, it'd be April, right? April.
No, we're looking at May.
Okay.
Because it's going to be June.
Oh, you're right, yes.
See, we're so confused. We're all in denial that it's June. Tomorrow is June. But anyway, so the next 2 weeks, make sure you tune in. We're going to have a Sonoma County District Attorney, Carla Rodriguez, on the show. She's going to be talking about elder abuse and that whole piece of what she does. And
scams.
And yeah, and yeah, elder abuse scams, elder, what kind of what to look for. And we see that a lot sometimes,
do,
you know,
yeah.
too. We see, or it's kind of sometimes borderline, you know, because we work with a lot of families and their parents and, you know, that mm-hmm. somebody that has to move or moving into care facility or something. And it's hard to differentiate sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's blatantly obvious, you know, mm-hmm. that they're mistreating a parent. But sometimes it's just, you know, day in, day out, it's frustrating, you know, tensions are high, and there's sometimes the way yeah. people are treating their yeah. elderly
it's
parents, we go, oh, I'm sorry,
happen.
You know, but anyway, so she's going to talk a little bit about that and just kind of how to identify it and what to do and scams to look out
week.
For. That's next week, and then the week, so that's June 7th and June 14th. We have Diva Marie Proto and Rhiannon Yeager with the Diva is our Sonoma County assessor, and she and then Rhiannon is you know, I always forget her title, but she's right up there at the top
yeah.
of the top of the tier of in the assessor's office. She's got a very important part in that assessment of our personal property. I mean, our real property. So we're going to talk to them about Prop 19. They actually came on last. Gosh, it was when did Prop 19 go in? It was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe more, maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, you know, time flies, and it
really does. It's hard to keep track.
It's
with
like
everything.
When was that? But anyway, yeah. we talked to them about Prop 19 when it had just been passed. And there was really a lot of uncertainty about what it is. And that's that transferring your property tax for 55 plus. But there's also a piece in it of having to do with investment property. And it's a replacement for Prop 13 for investment property. So now that we've had some years into it, they're going to really talk more about what all that is and how it can help and what to know about Prop 19. So all that coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're going to take a break now, though, and then we'll talk about the numbers, and then we'll carry on.
And then we have an open house today at our listing at 2346 from 1 to 4 p.m.
2346 oh, yeah. Olivet Lane.
Sorry.
Just 2346.
I was trying to get it out there too fast.
I know. Olivet Lane over there in beautiful Northwest Santa Rosa, Sebasta Rosa area, Laguna Road area. Beautiful, beautiful property. Come out and visit us 1 to 4 today. Okay, so I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team. You're listening to The Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
This is KSRO, Sonoma County's home for hard-hitting talk, local news, and variety at night and on the weekend. Like At the Table with Clark Wolf, Saturdays at noon, Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO.
You've probably been hearing it everywhere. Rates are shifting again. You may be asking, should we wait to buy a home? The truth is, there's no perfect rate or perfect time, only the right time for you.
If the payment fits your comfort level, the home fits your life, and the move makes sense for you, then the rate is just one piece of the puzzle.
Trying to time the market perfectly is a gamble. Making a smart decision based on your goals, finances, and future, that's a strategy.
That's where we come in. We'll walk you through the process, ask the right questions, connect you with a trusted local lender, and help you find the right home.
Because buying your home should be guided by your timing, not the headline.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team at normanhometeam.com. Allison and Stephanie Norman, realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO. DRE licenses 0172-0334 and 0220-9237.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. We are back. Okay, so yes, like we were saying before we ran out to the break, ran out of time. We will be at 2346 Olivet Lane, which is off of Olivet Road. It's a way back up off the road. It's almost 3 acres. It has a almost completed ADU.
It's an amazing property. It's like really my dream.
No, it's a, it's a big, nice, level, gently sloping.
And, if only. Well,
and in the location, we love that area. I think we both really love that Olivet Road out there. It's a, what we all in the real estate industry call Sebasta Rosa.
That white ranch fencing, wraparound porch. Just
really big
home.
Wraparound porch. We are we're going to actually. And if it has sunset views facing, you know, the big wraparound, and it's a really substantial porch. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to go sit on the back porch. It's a huge wraparound porch. And with lighting, and it's actually plumbed for fans, you know, like the plantation fans. You can picture that. It's a kind of a farmhouse, a Victorian farmhouse style house. But modern Victorian.
Yes.
It's just so many things have been done to the property to make it to just extras.
And the owner's, he built it. He's a contractor.
Yeah, contractor. So he built it. They got the plans. They built it. It's they built it in 2008. And it has, like I said, it has an ADU in the back. It's not fully permitted yet, but it is complete with walls in and, or I should say almost complete.
It's got the plumbing. It has all, building,
it's a permitted building.
Just not a permitted ADU.
Just not permitted to use it as a living, sleeping space, which because it's on septic, but there is an easy path to it and it's on a mound system. And with the mound, it's much easier to just add another, you know, link of stuff. So he has discovered a fairly easy path to make that an ADU. So that's a huge bonus for the property. But anyway, so yeah, it has great views across a vineyard, not their vineyard, but so you get to enjoy the vineyard without maintaining the vineyard. And then we're going to have a twilight open house, try and catch a nice sunset, probably not this week, but the following week. Because first week in June, people are kind of starting the new month. It's a little busy, but we'll tell you more about that. You come out in the evening and sit on the porch with us and enjoy the sunset.
Exactly.
And the house inside also is just it's a really nice,
it's a beautiful
very well
home.
Cared for, and just all the extras. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, plus an extra office, plus it's plumbed for a bathroom in the oversized garage. It has RV hookup, full RV hookup connected to the septic and plumbing and 2-car oversized garage, just extra little garage for your tractor and another storage. Just a lot of stuff this property has to offer. So it's listed at $1.7 million. We'll hope you'll come out today and take a look. Come say hi and
see
what we're raving about, this beautiful property. So
2346 Olivet Lane.
And it's we'll be there from 1 to 4 today. So we also have a PUD coming up. We'll talk about that next week. Over in Wickiup. They don't come on the market very often in this complex. It is a PUD, 2-bedroom, 2-bath, about 1,000 square feet. It's going to be in that, it's listed at 510. But we'll tell you more about it next week because we're not on the market yet. All right, so let's talk. Shall we get the numbers out and then we can move on to, let's do the numbers and then we'll move on to talk about that. I don't know. Okay, so we'll see if we have I don't have my clock with me. Oh yeah, we've got time. So you know, it's funny because we were talking about last week about really looking back in 2022-23, you know, we had like 400 active listings, you know, so to put that in context, for what I'm about to say, we have 898 active listings right now. And so we're definitely in the thick of that spring summer market. The good news is there's a lot of buyers out there as well. So especially in that lower end, when you get up to the higher, really anything over, you know, when you look at the stats, but just information people put out there in the news and all of that, and it says anything over a million is really slowed down. But I'd say it's more like 1.5 million, 1.3 million maybe. You get up there, then it's just like suddenly There's a way where all the buyers go, you know. So, you know, so that lower portion of the market is really a lot of inventory coming on, but also a lot of buyers out there buying. So 898 active single family homes, all of Sonoma County, and then there's 337 in escrow. The median price for the active right now is $1,232,000, and the median is the middle of the market. That's a needle that kind of moves up or down based on where the inventory is. And then 879,000 is the median of what's in escrow. Then that really shows us the difference between those two numbers, shows us that the lower priced homes are really more of what's going into escrow and selling. So anyway, so that's the single family section. And that's usually when you hear the news and all that, they're talking about single family homes. Condos are 152 active condos and townhouses on the market right now. That's a really big number, actually. And then 41, actually it was bigger last week. It was 146, now it's 142. Oh no, it's 152. And then 41 in escrow. And then mobile homes, we have 90 active mobile homes in a park with 42 in escrow. Multi-units, 2 to 4 units, we have 115 active on the market and 16 in escrow. And then land, buildable lots and land, residential, 310 active, and then 39 in escrow. So, you know, all of those numbers are pretty consistent with what they've been, but they're all up a little bit as far as, especially as far as inventory. So what do you have for what happened this last week before we run out of time?
So we have, from last Sunday to this Sunday, new listings, 130 with a median list price of $862,000. Back on market, we have 10, price production 83, which is, really high. It's going up. Well, not really high, but it's going up and up every week. Those price reductions. So it's telling us that things are getting listed too high. They're having to adjust the prices for the market.
Yeah, and as more inventory comes on the market, people go, shoot. Yeah, and definitely. You don't want to be chasing the market down, so you got to price right.
So then in escrow, we have 72, pending 70, sold 83, with a median sold price of $840,000, with an average of 47 days on the market.
Okay.
And so congratulations to all those those buyers and sellers and everyone involved. You guys all did it. You got through it. It's woohoo. Congratulations.
Yeah. Everybody
got it done before the month ended.
I know. And that's what, you know, big shout out again to the title companies, because everybody wants to close by the end of the month. So they're scrambling, and we call them up as if we're the only escrow they have.
Exactly.
Why isn't this done yet? No, and a lot of times it's like, well, we didn't get the paperwork we needed, you know, and really we don't call and say, why isn't this done? We all, I think they do get those calls though, but I think most of the realtors in the area know how hard our title and escrow officers work, the lenders and the underwriters and everything.
And I was just going to mention, you did mention numbers on the news, and I just wanted to say when it's the news, it's usually national or always national, not specific to your area.
Sometimes it's like Bay Area.
Yeah, Bay Area. So this is Sonoma County, but we can, if you want us to do your neighborhood or a specific area you're wondering about or looking at, we can do that. And so just reach out to us and we can help you with that.
Yeah, we can break these numbers down by any criteria you want. If you want to know just how the country property is doing, anything over an acre in all of Sonoma County, we can do that. If you want to know what what Cloverdale looks like, or the west side of Petaluma looks like, or what is this specific neighborhood, what is Fountain Grove doing, you know,
those
all of those
Bay Area numbers on the news, those are not going to apply to you, most likely.
No, and even when they say North Bay, it's still, North Bay is there's a few counties in
it's
North
all
Bay.
Different.
It also includes Marin and Napa.
Reach out
to
us.
So anyway, we can break it down however you need us to. But for now, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, let's talk about buyer contingencies and then really kind of how to kind of determine what it is you're looking for.
Yeah.
All right, we got to take a break. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team. You're listening to The Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
agreement between the U.S. and Iran as tensions in the Middle East drive up prices stateside. Kevin Hassett, director of the White House National Economic Council, speaking with ABC's This Week.
The energy prices are high, and they're high around the world. Gas prices are high. That's extremely frustrating, and it's something that we're working on, doing lots of different things to minimize the disruption, and hopefully, again, that the problem in the Gulf will be over soon, and then things will go back to normal.
In New Jersey, Governor Mikey Sherrill speaking moments ago about the clashes between ICE agents and protesters outside an immigrant detention facility.
I will ensure public safety, and I refuse to give ICE an excuse to surge into our communities. That would make the situation more dangerous and put more New Jerseyans at risk.
That facility, Delaney Hall, has come under scrutiny for what detainees call inhumane living conditions. ICE denies reports that migrants have started a hunger strike there. This is ABC News.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following a clear and cool overnight, we can look to generally sunny skies to give us daytime highs in the mid-80s. Later this evening, we can look to clear skies to leave us with overnight lows in the high 40s and low 50s. Looking ahead, temps are expected to gradually rise and reach the low 90s by Wednesday afternoon. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO. Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning. We're
good
back.
Morning.
We're back. Okay, so let's talk about, we've been talking about and mentioned at the beginning of the show that, you know, oftentimes we just blurt out this these words that... We know what we're talking about. How come you don't? You know, and then we have to remind ourselves, and I you know, like I said, when I'm doing something, if I'm in the middle of a transaction that's not real estate and somebody is just, you know, talking and not really explaining, it's hard for me because I'm one of those people that really needs to understand the why of something. Mm-hmm. So it makes me remember and reminds me that we need to do that too. Yes. Slow down and talk. And sometimes I over-explain things because when I'm working with clients that know all this, you know, so we don't really know. So it's really good to have those conversations ahead of time or when we start working with someone like, okay, how much do you want me to explain all this? Sometimes when we're going through just writing an offer, it's like every line they want an explanation. And other times I'll start reading through it, you know, and then they're all, it's okay. I just tell me where to sign.
Yeah.
Tell me where to sign. I've done this before.
Yeah.
So this is for the people that haven't done this before or maybe have forgotten and really have kind of just let it breeze by without really understanding what it means. So we talk a lot about buyer contingencies. I guess first let's talk about the steps of a buyer, of a transaction, whether you're on the buyer side or the seller side. If you're the seller, you have your property on the market, you're going to now, and if you're a buyer, you're going to be writing an offer on that, or your agent is going to write an offer for that. Sometimes there's multiple offers. Sometimes you might get a counter offer like we talked about last week. That's not a requirement. There's a lot of people that put an offer and go, well, they can just counter. It's like, well, they might not counter. They don't have to. There's no requirement. We'll get a call from the buyer's agent sometime going, how come you didn't counter? It's like, well, they didn't want to counter. They don't have to counter.
And it's
I'm
not
sorry
up to us.
I didn't put your best offer in. You know, so you're going to as a seller, you get an offer. You get the decision. You get to make the decision. Do I want to accept this offer? Or do I want to counter it? Or do I want to just not even, you know, maybe it was insulting and we don't want anything to do with those people. So, which is something to be.
A big part of it is that we have no say in any of it. It's all the buyer or seller
wants. We're here to advise and we can let you know what we think and why we think that's a better offer. But ultimately, it's your decision and it's what makes sense to you. And sometimes it's not the most amount of money. Sometimes it's that they're going to give you a rent back, you know, or, you know, it's your neighbor across the street and you want to sell to them, you know, and you as the seller, as long as you're not violating any discrimination laws, you know, and you have to be careful with that, but you have the right to accept any offer, really. You don't have to say, you don't have to accept the best offer. Although if it's going to violate some kind of fair housing thing, just be aware of it and be able to explain why you accepted this offer over the other one.
Yeah.
to protect yourself. But anyway, so you as the seller, you're going to accept an offer. Buyer's going to go, woohoo, we got our offer accepted. And then we open escrow and people go, what does that mean? So you have a ratified contract when two parties have signed it. And not only have they signed it, but you have sent back the signed copy of the offer, to accepted offer to the buyer. And it used to be it had to be delivered with receipt of delivery. You had to, this agent had to sign, or the buyer had to sign saying, yes, I received a copy of this. And if you hadn't done that yet, we could slip in another a withdrawal of that acceptance of the offer in that amount of time and say, well, you didn't tell me you received it yet. So we didn't have receipts, so we couldn't. And that's kind of a shady thing to do. but they actually took away that option, and now delivery is considered to be electronic. So if we've sent it by email to you, whether you've opened that email or not, it has been delivered. I think there's a place in the purchase contract to say that it has to be delivered differently. You know, I think they've left a thing in there, but for the most part, it's been delivered. Delivery is considered to be receipt of notification that your offer was accepted. So now you have a ratified contract. Binding contract. Okay. It's binding. So ratified, I know. Sorry, back it up one more time. So ratified means it's been signed by both parties. It's an accepted offer, a ratified purchase agreement. And now we're going to take that. And in that offer, it says within 3 days, you're going to open escrow. And then you're also going to deposit funds into escrow. So opening escrow, there's the title company, and escrow is a neutral third party. So they are the ones who are going to hold all, they're going to gather all the information. They're going to kind of, they're the in-between person that's going to do all of the things. And they can only do what they're instructed to do. They can't make any decisions. They can't do anything with your money, with the other money. They can't do anything. They have, you know, a multiple page instructions that they have to do, and they have to follow everything that it says in the purchase contract. And if they have to make any kind of change, they need written instructions agreed to by both sides. So they're a true neutral third party. And so you're going to open escrow, which means basically your agent's going to extend the offer over the ratified contract and say, we have an accepted offer. We're going to open escrow. So they'll open up escrow. They'll start pulling all the title. So the escrow company is kind of dual purpose. They're neutral third party. Managing your transaction, but they're also then work with a title company. In Southern California and other parts of the country, they have separate title and escrow companies. Ours are kind of separate, but they're together. So there is a title department. So the escrow officer is the one that kind of manages all of it. And then they usually have a couple of assistants that are doing things. They have an underwriter that needs to make sure everything's done correctly, just like a lender does. But then they have the title company. So as soon as you open escrow, they'll send an open escrow sheet. They'll have all the information. Here's the buyer, here's the seller. Make sure all this information is correct. They're going to send out a questionnaire to both sides from the seller. They're going to want your loan information so they can request a payoff. If there's an HOA, they need all that. They need all the information so they can do this transaction. And then they're going to request from the title company a preliminary title report, and they're looking for any liens on the title. They want to make sure that there's no cloud on the title, that it's in the correct name. The person who is going to buy the house, or the person who's selling the house, has the ability to do so. And they are who they say they are, and all of that. Excuse me. So that's opening escrow. So when we say we've opened escrow, that basically your offer was accepted, we opened escrow. And then within those 3 days that you have, or whatever was negotiated in the contract, it defaults to 3 days. You could do it day one, or you can say in the contract, we're going to deposit our initial deposit. And then the seller has to agree that that's okay. But typically it's 3 days, and you have 3 days to put your initial deposit, or earnest money deposit, you might call it. And that's anywhere from, you know, $1,000 to $20,000 or more. It depends. Usually a lot of times it'll just be like $10,000. If you want to strengthen your offer, bring it up to 3% of the purchase price. Eventually we want to see it at 3% of the purchase price, because that's where the liquidated damages clause comes into effect. And that's a whole other topic is liquidated damage. But we like to see that. So so there will be an initial deposit, and that's really the a lot of agents and I you know, a lot of agents will wait and put it to in escrow until they actually see that deposit go in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's because, like we talked at the beginning, where a buyer will go, oh, shoot, I didn't really think this through. I don't think I want this house. And they'll back out on day two, you know. So, mm-hmm. And they haven't put any money in. So, you know, anyway, so it's not, you can't really do much about that. And they actually are within their timeline to do that. You just have to have a reason, a legitimate reason that an attorney wouldn't be able to argue with. But anyway, so that's opening escrow and then putting that earnest money deposit in. So then day one of a purchase contract and an escrow is this day after the first full day after your offer was accepted. So if your offer was accepted at 9 o'clock on Monday morning, the first full day is Tuesday. So that's day one.
Yeah.
So whether it was accepted 6 o'clock in the morning or, 11:59, day one is the first full day. So that's when the clock starts. And that's all of your timelines on your contingencies, your loan, the escrow, all of that. Escrow is whatever the timeline and the amount of time for escrow is whatever you've negotiated in the contract. So if your contract says we're going to close escrow in 30 days, which is the standard, but it's really gotten a lot, a lot of people will do it in 20 days, 21 days. The lenders can do a pretty fast approval now, and we could close pretty quickly. If you have cash, you could close escrow in 10 days, or 5 days. The title companies don't like that so much because they have a lot to do at the very beginning, and you're all, by the way, we're closing in 5 days. what? But anyway, so that's kind of that starts. So once your timeline starts, then you have we like to call the exit lanes or safety net. You have all of these contingencies, and that's another word that we throw out a lot. You have your contingency, don't worry about it. It's like, well, what is a contingency?
Or putting in an offer contingent on whatever.
Right. And so the contingent is your way out. It's your exit lane. It's a really good credit my realtor up in Oregon for, because I always just said a safety net, which it is, but I think exit lane is such a better visual.
Yeah.
Everybody really knows what an exit. You're driving down the freeway. There's nowhere to get off. Oh, wait, there's an exit. So that's what your contingency is. It's an exit lane. And so you have a lot of them along the way. And it's our job to kind of keep you on track. And if you pass that exit, you can't go back, basically.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the time during those contingencies, you're getting your inspections done and figuring everything out. And so kind of what it's for, right? The exit lane, if something comes up in the inspections, you're like, oh wow, that I can't afford that, or that's way too much to deal with,
right? And I didn't realize when, and that's why we like to see those inspections up front.
Exactly.
And we like to have, and it's really gotten to be very normal for inspections to be done up front and for buyers to call us up or text us or email and say, this house looks interesting. Can you send me the disclosure package? Mm-hmm. And most agents have a disclosure package available now, which is nice. That includes the reports, So that's all the stuff. And that's why I think last week when I was saying you have all that stuff ahead of time,
opening escrow when you have a listing for the seller.
Pre-opening escrow. Yes, we like to do that. And that is to make sure. So like I said, when you open escrow, when you get an offer accepted and you open escrow, you still have to, even if you have a pre-list escrow, you still have to officially open escrow. And it can actually be with the buyer is typically the person who chooses who the escrow company is. Since so many of us agents are now pre-opening an escrow, we can put in the MLS remarks, the agent remarks, we can say, escrow is pre-opened with XYZ title company, and that doesn't mean you have to use them as a buyer. It just means that they've opened it, they've done all the pre-work, there's a trust, they've checked that out, they've gotten a copy of the trust, they have the death certificate, they have all the stuff they needed. If there was an IRS lien, they've started that process to clear that, they've done all that work. So it's nice to keep it with them because they've already done it, but you don't have to. do that as a buyer. They can't make you use theirs unless they're going to pay for it. If they're going to pay for it, they still can't make you, but they can say, well, we're going to pay for it, so we'd really like to keep it with that. Yeah. Otherwise, you can pay for your own and go somewhere else. But anyway, so yeah, that helps a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So you've got all these. So once your offer is accepted, you've got day one, and on the offer, there's a whole bunch of different timelines, you know, that for things, for contingencies, exit lanes, things that you have to pass and check off and say, okay, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Or, oops, wait a minute, I'm not okay with this. Let's go negotiate. You know, so you have that opportunity to do all that. And that's when you're going to do your inspections, even if there's already inspections. A lot of times people go, well, I want my own inspector, or I want to have my contractor come and look. So even if there's all the inspections are done and the reports are there, maybe there were some things that they fixed or there were things they didn't fix, and you want to get a price for what is this going to cost to fix all these things. So you know going in, and it makes you less likely to back out because you knew about it. And that's why it's helpful for a seller to do them ahead of time, I think.
Definitely,
it's not such a big surprise, but still it's not a fail safe because they still, unless they come in non-contingent with no contingencies, saying I'll take it just like you said it was on the paperwork that you gave me before I wrote the offer, unless they do that, they have every right to do all the inspections. They can do it anyway if they've written in there's a place to check that they have formal access to the property for X number of days. So even if they've removed all their contingencies, a buyer can still go in there and look at things and check things. And if they back out, then they're in breach of contract because they've already removed their contingencies, and then there could be a lawsuit, and there could be also, we want to try and avoid that, obviously. But anyway, some of the contingencies that you have going in, there's a whole bunch of different ones, like contingencies or safety nets or exit lanes. You have the two most important, if you're getting a loan, is going to be your loan contingency and your appraisal contingency. If you're getting a loan, you have to have an appraisal. You can remove one or the other. If you're solid as a rock from, you know, based on your lender calling up the agent saying they're golden, we hear a lot, you know, they're good to go. They're not even pre-approved. They're approved for a loan. You can remove those contingencies if your lender says it's okay and if you feel comfortable with it. But otherwise, you've got those in place saying, okay, I need to make sure I can get this loan. So here's, you know, 15 days I'm asking for to do that because that's what the lender told me they need. Here's 15 days to get the appraisal because I can't get the loan without the appraisal. And so those are two really important contingencies. But there's other ones that are equally important is the insurance. And that is a big deal now. And it used to be kind of an afterthought where we go, we should probably get insurance, you know, and it would take 2 days and you just get insurance before you close escrow because the lender requires it. But now, really, I think you should start looking at it ahead of time.
Definitely.
Even before you put an offer in, what's the insurance going to cost? Because that
can
completely,
completely
derail everything there. So you've got the appraisal, lender, insurance. The preliminary title report is a separate contingency. Is everything good on the title report? Are we okay with, you know, whatever it says on there? The HOA. If there's an HOA, being able to review the HOA docs, the budget, what are the rules and regulations? Can I have a dog? Oh, shoot, I can't have a dog. I don't want this house anymore. You know, where's that exit lane? There's one there. It's a contingency. A physical inspection of the property. There's documents, looking at all the documents, all the disclosures. Those are all contingencies. Those are all an opportunity for you, the buyer, to look at all of the information available and say, okay, I definitely want this house. I've looked at everything. I've done all my research. Everything looked good. Or maybe something didn't, and now you're going to negotiate. You're going to put in a request for repair. You're going to put in a request for a credit or a price reduction. Or you can just say, you know what, I don't want this house anymore because it has mold, or it has, you know, I didn't know that there was so much road noise, even though I was here already and I didn't know, notice it. But you could, you know, I mean, there are ways, and then there's the times when people kind of abuse that, I think, where they say, oh, well, you know, I don't like that tree back there. I didn't realize there was the tree back there blocking my view. And it's like, really, do you really just, are you just trying to get out of the house? Right? Just say it. Like, you know, but really you have to have a legitimate reason that that an attorney couldn't, you know, pick apart in if you are taken to court for breach of contract for backing out without a legitimate reason. But anyway, so that hopefully explains kind of what a contingency is when we talk about contingencies and what that process is. Once you've removed all those contingencies, you usually you're going to increase your deposit if you haven't already brought it up to 3%, and then and that deposit sits very safely in the escrow in their account. They can't do anything with it, and then they don't release it until the very end, and then it becomes part of your deposit, you're part of the purchase price of the house, and so unless you've removed all your contingencies and then you back out, your deposit could be at risk, but they still have to prove that they were damaged somehow by you backing out after you'd removed all your contingencies. So it's not automatically, oh, they backed out, here you go, there's the deposit, you get to keep it.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. I think we covered everything. If you have additional questions, there's always nodumbquestion@gmail.com. If you have specific questions about something that is going on with you, if you're in the middle of a transaction, you're working with a realtor, we really can't advise you on your specific transaction. But absolutely, if you have questions, we're happy to answer them for you off air. 707-799-3617 or nodumbquestion@gmail.com. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about kind of making that. How do you decide what you need in a house to make it quote unquote perfect, you know?
And is there a perfect house?
I don't know. We're going to find out. Anyway, okay. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team. You're listening to The Real Estate Hour. I'll be right back.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon...
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Okay, so...
Last day of May.
What's that? So June school is out. Is school out? Yeah, I know my grandkids, their school was out. Yeah. But anyway, happy summer. It's always nice as a parent when it was a relief because you don't have to do this, the lunches, the, you know, get up in the morning. One of my sons, your brother, was a bear to get up in the morning. Man, it was so hard. I was so happy when he was done with school because I would have to make, get up in the morning. Anyway, and then the homework and the thing. So it's such a relief to have a break from that as a parent. But then, you know, halfway through, you're all, okay, when are we going back to school? But then it's like, oh, now we have to do that whole thing again. So anyway, I've been there. I've been 25 years I had kids in school because my kids ranged from their 12-year gap between four kids. So anyway, congrats to all of you that are out of school. Woohoo! And those that graduated, too.
Yeah, woohoo!
All right, so let's talk about buyer needs and you know, how, like we said at the beginning, we show property. We really like it when you... have us come with you to show property. Mm-hmm. Don't just say, oh, I didn't want to bother you, so we went to open houses. That, you know, it's literally our job to show you property, advise you, help you get a house. We can help you so much better if we really understand not just what you said and what you think you want, but how you react when you walk into a house. you know, and we are reading all of that and soaking it all in and taking mental notes like, oh, okay, she didn't like that, he loved it, you know, and or they both went, oh, no way, or, you know, they didn't. We learn a lot, and I think it helps you also learn, you as the buyer, learn a lot just by looking at property.
And also, while you are out looking at the properties and looking at all these houses and looking for the things that you want in a house, we're with you taking notes, but we're also looking and seeing, is there dry rot? Are the windows failed? Is there a crack in the floor?
Right, where they're going, oh, man. And the looking past the staging, because staging is full of trickery. I mean, you know, it's an amazing thing. It is, I know, not trickery, but I mean, it's, you know, we get drawn into, oh, wow, this furniture looks amazing in here. It's like, well, you don't get the furniture, so let's look beyond the furniture. But it really does help. It helps placement. You know, people don't go, well, where am I going to put the couch? Where's the TV going to go? Where? So staging helps a lot with that. So I was not bashing staging, because we're firm believers in staging a vacant house. Absolutely.
I love staging houses.
I know. Yes. Stephanie's our stager. She does a great job. So, but anyway, so while you're right, we're looking at the hard to see stuff, important stuff. But as far as kind of self-identifying in yourself, what's important, what is their perfect property? I don't think so. There's never going to be a perfect property. Especially you can move in and make it perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the beauty of owning your own home is you can make changes and make it the way you want it. Right.
You want your walls to be bright pink?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been there. Yeah. No, not pink, but red. We did red. We did one red accent wall, and I'm like, okay, that's enough. Actually, no, I took a little further than that. But anyway. Because it was my house, darn it, I'm going to paint it whatever color I want.
And I wanted my ceiling dark brown and my walls tan.
Even though I said, well, it's going to make your room look really small. I don't care. So we did it. And it goes back to my upbringing. My mom let us paint. We painted our rooms like, you know, whatever you want to. We just hand-painted designs on the wall and stuff. Thanks, Mom. Anyway, so looking at the needs, so make a list, and we're not going to have a time to fully go into this, but making a list of by yourself. So if you're you have a partner you're buying a house with, what do you want? What's important to you? What are your non-negotiables? You know, what absolutely do you have to have? What would you love to have? What would be a cool bonus, but you know, whatever. It'd be nice, but it's not required. And what are the 100% deal breakers? Make a list separately from everybody that's involved in the purchase. Even, you know, get your kids involved, you know, not that they can, you know, fully make the decisions, but it's important that we should include that, I think. But, you know, so, and then to get together, have a family meeting, get together and say, okay, here's my list, here's this list, and here's this, and how can we make this all work? Who's going to give a little bit here and there, you know? But I think it's really important, and a lot of times what you think is really important and what you absolutely have and what's a deal breaker, you know, we've had clients over the years, absolutely no stairs. Guess what they bought? The house with the most stairs that we saw in all of the listings we looked at. Absolutely not Oakmont. Guess where they bought their house? Oakmont.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes you don't know, and that's why it's important to get out and look at property. But really getting that list together and you know, some soul searching, you know, look inside and what are you willing to, where are you willing to sacrifice to get into a house? And it's hard right now because there's a lot of inventory in those
really
lower
is.
Priced homes. So anyway.
You just want to make sure you're all on the same page.
Really. Yeah. And get out and look at property, and we don't mind showing you property. Absolutely. And it helps us not just to learn what you're looking for, but just to learn the market. So we love to go look at property, but we're out of time. So we better wrap it up. Where can people find us? The Real Estate Hour.
The Real Estate Hour on Facebook Hour, Allison and Stephanie Norman on Facebook.
Yeah. And then YouTube, Sonoma County Real Estate Hour on YouTube. Check us out there. We're going to have to go. Come to our open house.
Yes. 2346 Olivet Lane, 1 to 4 p.m. today. Come see us.
Woo-hoo. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team. You've been listening to The Real Estate Hour. Have a great day. Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Estate Hour. Heard every Sunday morning right here on KSRO for over 35 years. Hosted by Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, local realtors with local real estate experience. A mother-daughter real estate team with Keller Williams Realty Wine Country. Call or text 707-799-3617. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237. More next week right here on KSRO.
Your home for news, weather.